Good morning. Today's daf in Beitza Chaf Vav. We're starting with the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Hem and Beis, and we are going to talk about a Bechor on Yantav. Just a couple of introductory remarks before we begin with the Mishnah number one. So a Bechor is one of the Matnos Kahuna. That means to say that you have a firstborn animal that's born in your flock, so that is already Kedusha Somerechem. Its sanctity occurs automatically just by virtue of the fact that it's born. Otherwise stated, it's a Bechor. Now, Bizman Beis HaMikdash, so what you need to do is you need to give it to a Kohen, and then the Kohen's going to offer it as a Karban Shlamim, and the Kohen's going to be eating the majority of it, but it is going to be a Karban. That is Bizman Beis HaMikdash. Even Bizman Beis HaMikdash, if the animal develops a blemish, a mum kavua, permanent blemish, so then it no longer is going to be offered as a Karban. In fact, it's Bechor is an unusual Karban in that. With a mum, with a blemish, so it's not redeemed, but rather it's eaten. The Kohen can eat it whenever he wants, wherever he wants. And that is the basic halachas regarding a Bechor. Now, Bizman HaZeh, nowadays, unfortunately, we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash. So what do you do with a Bechor? So it's still Matnos Kahuna. You still need to give it to a Kohen. But now the Kohen's going to be in a somewhat tight spot. There is no Beis HaMikdash offered, so the Kohen now is just going to have to simply wait until it develops a blemish. Additionally, the Kohen cannot put a blemish on the animal himself. Doing so would be a violation of the Torah, so that means to say that a blemish has to occur naturally, organically. A blemish just simply has to materialize on its own. The animal has to have some sort of accident or whatever. Basically what the Kohen has to do is just simply hold on to the animal and wait for it to develop a blemish. One can imagine the Kohen is going to be a little bit restless over the fact that he just is simply going to have to be, he's going to have to wait and be in that position. Generally speaking, we discussed this at length in Masechet Bechoros. Generally speaking, when Kohen shows a Bechor to a Bechor Ba'amum to an expert, we are somewhat distrustful of the Kohanim over the concern that maybe he'll put the blemish in himself. But that's not really our topic for today. But anyway, that's just the very basics regarding a Bechor. Why are we discussing a Bechor on Yontif? What's the issue over here? So as we're going to see, the issue over here is whether or not an examination can be done on Yontif. The Mishnah over here is going to give us a somewhat specific scenario in that the Bechor fell into a pit and now we're lowering the expert into the pit in order to do a bedika, and in just a while we're going to explain why the Mishnah gives such a bizarre scenario. But the question over here is really simple and really straightforward, in that can an examination be done on Yontif? That's the basic question, and that's what our Mishnah is going to be discussing. If I could just one other word of introduction, why is this coming up over here now? Meaning if we're just trying to go through the Mishnah here in the third parak. The first Mishnah talked about Seda. Second Mishnah talked about Muchan, and you laid out the traps before Yontif, and we don't know whether it was trapped on Yontif or before Yontif. And the most recent Mishnah was talking about a Behemah Mesukenis, an animal that was dying on Yontif, and then it's just a question of whether or not we can quickly shech the animal prior to its death in order so that we don't lose on all this. So this next mission over here is talking about a Bechor. It seems to be a bit of a non sequitur. What's the connection? So so we could just simply chalk it up to the fact that it's Yontif and it has to do with the halachas of Yontif. But also, I think also just on a somewhat more connective tissue, it connects to the previous Mishnah, because in the previous Mishnah we were talking about Hefzed. Meaning the idea that Mr. Kenneth is going to die, and if we just allow it to die in Yontif, so then we're going to lose all that meat, that ability to eat that meat. So because of the question of Hefzed Mamon, so the Chachamim allowed for a Heter. Again, the Heter is limited only if you can eat a Kazayis of the meat roasted prior to the end of Yontif. But anyway, but there's a Heter because of Hefzed Mamon. So here too as well, there's also a Hefzed Mamon consideration as well. And as we go through the Mishnah, it's going to become clear, it'll become evident how there, in fact, there's going to be a Hefzed Mamon, and that probably is why the Mishnah over here comes immediately after the previous Mishnah about the Mesukenis. With that stated, so we begin. We're in the Mishnah on the very bottom of Chaf Hem and Beis. Mishnah starts off, Bechor Shenafel Abor. So let's say your Bechor falls into a pit. So like I said, it's a really specific scenario where now it's not only that the Kohen has a Bechor on Yantiv, but on top of that, it also fell into a pit. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yerin Mumcha V'yira. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, here's what you'll do. You'll lower a Mumcha into the pit. A Mumcha is an expert, somebody who has proficiency and knowledge about whether or not the animal is actually blemished. In other words, in order for an animal to be deemed and judged as being blemished, so you need a mumcha, you need an expert to ascertain. So how do you arrive at this proficiency? The answer is actually really simple: study and getting a degree. It's a if you will, it's a postdoctorate degree, right? Mahabdil. But the but basically the Gemara and Sanhedrin in the beginning talks about how there are various degrees that are offered for Rabbanus. There is Yara Yara, there's Yadin Yadin, and there's another degree which most people don't know about because it's not in practice nowadays, but that, of course, is, Matir Mumim, a degree to be Matir Mum. The Gemara tells the story of Rav, went out to the farm for a year and a half in order to study all the anatomy and physiology of an animal so that he had the ability to go ahead and to paskin on a bechor, whether or not the bechor is a bal mum. Okay. So for this you need a mumcha. So just a parenthetical note, bismanazeh. So this does not become an issue for us because nowadays what the farmers do, I mean, in America, how many Jewish farmers are there? We have one here in South Florida. But anyway, so what are the so what's done nowadays? So bismanazeh nowadays. So all Jewish farmers will make sure that they include a non-Jew as part of the partnership of the animals. The Gemara, in the beginning of Bechorah, says that when you have non-Jewish partnership as part of your the ownership team of an animal, so then the Kedushas Bechor does not occur, does not take place. Okay. Anyway, beginning of Bechorah is not for now. So anyway, so according to Rav Yehuda, let's reset. So according to Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda Amar Yerid Mumcha V'yira. So what the mumcha should do is be lowered into the pit in order to see the animal and looking obviously to see whether or not it has a blemish. So im yesh bo mum yalav yishchot v'im lav lo yishchot. Now if the animal has a blemish on it, so yalav yishchot. So then what you should do is you should take it out from the pit and shecht it. But if not, otherwise, so lo yishchot. Okay. So why are we dropping the mumcha in? Why aren't we not taking the animal out? So the answer, says Rashi over here, that if in fact the animal is not a balmum, so then what we're going to be doing is we're going to be involving ourselves in a tircha, an unnecessary tircha of lifting the animal out of the pit, an anyantiv, so we want to avoid having a tircha. Why not just simply wait a day? In other words, going through this, what is an unusual practice of lowering somebody into the pit in order to see the animal, so why not just simply wait one more day? So as Rashi points out over here, well, the animal's in a pit, and the pit does not have a lot of air in it. And there is a real concern, a real consideration that the animal's going to die. So that, as I pointed out, now is a connection between the previous Mishnah. Meaning right now there is a hefse mamon consideration. And for the hefse mamon consideration, so a heter. Now the heter is not that exciting, meaning all we're going to do is we're going to allow a mumcha to be dropped into the pit. But still, the point is that, according to Rav Yehuda, there is something you could do. And that if in the event that the Bechor turns out to be a Bamum, so then the Bechor will be lifted out of the pin, you're going to shecht it. That is all according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. However, continuing in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Amar, Kol She'en Momen, Ikar Mi Ba'od Yom, Inzem Min Amuchan. Rabbi Shimon says that if the Mum was not recognized from before Yantiv, so this is Eino Min Amuchan, this is not considered prepared. In other words, there's nothing you could do about it. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it's just simply... no solution, at least for the remainder of Yantiv. Okay, Rashi over here is bothered by a simple question, which really demands an answer. And that is that the Shitas and the Mishnah are surprising, to say the least. Meaning we have a Machlokas Tanayim, what to do when the Bechor falls into the pit, and we want to ascertain as to whether or not the Bechor is a Baal Mum or not a Baal Mum. So Rabbi Yehuda comes out to be a Mekel, and Rabbi Shimon comes out to be a Machmir. Okay, that in of itself is not exciting or not surprising, but if you think about it, Rashi notes, you would have expected those two Tanayim to have issued the exact opposite psak. Consider, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that we subscribe to Muksa. Rabbi Shimon lays a Muksa. So on the front, on the issue of Muksa, so Rabbi Yehuda is a Machmir and Rabbi Shimon's a Mekel. So if the issue over here is Muksa, so you would have thought that they would have reversed positions. Rav Yehuda would say, look, the animal's muksa. In other words, we didn't know going into Yontif whether or not this animal is in fact a balmum, so you would have expected Rav Yehuda to be machmir, and just the opposite, we would have expected Rabbi Shimon to be a mekel, because Rabbi Shimon le se muksa. So that is the expectation, and the Mishnah gives us the exact opposite presentation, and Rashi points out over here, what you have to say this, is that the issues over here are not muksa. You have to say that. So if the issues over here are not muksa, so let's first address a simple question. Why is there no muksa consideration over here? So Rashi says over here, because we know that the animal was a balmum before Yontif, meaning the case over here has to be where we saw that the animal was blemished before Yontif. Now, but what we don't know does this blemish qualify or does it not qualify? So for that, we need a mumcha. Now, obviously, we would have loved to have gotten a mumcha to come before Yontif, but the Mishnah is talking about a case where it just simply wasn't available. However, banking on the fact that there was a blemish on the animal prior to Yontif, so now it is in our mind, it's in our framework, that there's a possibility that we're going to be able to enjoy and consume this animal on Yontif itself. The only thing we need now to do is to simply get a mumcha to come over and to see the animal. So now Rashi says, now here's the issue. Here's the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Yehuda will tell you that, okay, so we'll get a mumcha on Yontif. No big deal. Meaning, it already had the mum before Yontif. So already it was in the owner's head that he was going to be, at least have the possibility of eating this animal on Yontif. So it's not muksa. And now what about the fact that you have somebody now judging and adjudicating on Yontif? So Rav Yehuda says, this is not judgment, this is not adjudication, meaning the mum existed before Yontif. We just simply lack the knowledge to know whether or not this will qualify. So according to Rav Yehuda is teaching us that when the mumcha comes and looks at it, this is not considered a psak din, and therefore it would be okay. Again, to raise the animal out of the pit, that's not acceptable, because there is a chance that the mumcha is going to say it doesn't qualify. And that was the tircha de lo tzarich. It was an unnecessary tircha. But to lower the mumcha into the pit and to have him look at it and to rule in fact that that's a qualifying mum, so according to Rav Yehuda, that's allowed. That shita's Rav Yehuda. Now Rashi goes on to explain, and now what about shita's Rabbi Shimon? So Rashi says, as far as shita's Rabbi Shimon is concerned, again, the issue is not muksa. The animal had a mum before Yontif. So the issue over here is the following. According to Rabbi Shimon, when the mumcha renders a decision, that is considered a psak din. And we're going to learn later in the Masechta, Beis Din is not allowed to adjudicate on Yontif. Okay, it's a rabbinic concern. We'll talk about it later in the Masechta. And what Rabbi Shimon's arguing over here is that this is considered enough of a psak din. Now again, it's not a psak din in the classic sense, meaning there's no litigation over here. And there are no witnesses, et cetera, et cetera. It really is just simply the determination of whether or not this blemish is a mum kavur, a mum over. All that's true, but according to Rabbi Shimon, it's enough considered a psak din where you cannot render a decision on Yontif itself. That's Rabbi Shimon's position. Now, what you have to do is you have to read it back into the Mishnah, and admittedly, it doesn't read so well back into the Mishnah. In fact, if you look at the language of Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, so he writes, Rabbi Shimon Omer Kosha Ein Mumonikar Mibao Yom Ein Zemina Muchan. Generally speaking, the word Muchan over here is the opposite of Muksa. A simple reading of the Mishnah would seem to indicate that the issue is whether it's Muksa or it's not Muksa. But Rashi can't work with that pshat because, again, we know Rabbi Shimon is a Mekel as it relates to Muksa. And that's why Rashi reads a creative pshat in the Mishnah, but one that's necessary based on what we already know regarding the Shitas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. And all this, I say, is just the Shita of Rashi. Rashi is not the only way to explain the Mishnah. There are other ways to explain the Mishnah, notably Tosfos over here. But for our purposes, that's the pshat that we're going to be working with in the course of today's daf. We start with the Gemara. The Gemara opens up with a simple question, but my kamiflagi. So what is the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So, by my kamiflagi, inem abiramumim kamiflagi, the Rabbi Yusuf aramumim, biyamtov, Rabbi Shimon Savarain, ramumim, biyamtov. So, if the issue in the Mishnah the way I just presented, which is, are we allowed to have a mumcha look at the Bechor in order to make a decision whether the mum is in fact a mum kavur, a mum over? So, is that the whole issue? So, the Gemara says, that may be right, but then why is the Mishnah so complicated? So, liflagu baramumim dama. So why does the Mishnah just simply state that there's a debate between these Tanaim whether or not a mumcha can take a look at the mum? Meaning, why is the Mishnah complicating matters by talking about the Bechor falling into a pit. We're going to lower the Mumcha into the pit. That seems to be extraneous and taking us away from the main point of the Mishnah. So, Bechor Shenafel Labor Yitzterich Leib. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why the Mishnah gave us that detail, and that is Sakadar Chamina Misham Tzar Balechayim. So I might have thought the following. Look, obviously the animal is really uncomfortable in the pit, and there's an issue of Tzar Balechayim. Elsewhere, the Gemara has a discussion whether Tzar Balechayim is a Din D'Oraisa, Din D'Rabbanan. Regardless, it's out there, meaning that we are not allowed to needlessly cause pain to an animal or allow an animal to be in pain. So be that the case, so one would have considered that maybe le'arim v'liske. So maybe we could do a harama, some sort of halachic loophole, in order to extract the animal from the pit, Kareb Yoshua. In fact, it's precedented. Again, we're going to see later in the Masechta, Rabbi Yoshua allows for a case of harama. Not this case, a different case. Later in the Masechta, I'm going to go over the details of what exactly that case was. But in other words, there is a case where harama is allowed. So I might have thought that if harama is allowed in another case where there is a possible Tzar Balechayim, so I would have thought maybe the same thing over here. So Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, no. The Chiddush over here is that for reasons which the Gemara doesn't really explain, no harama is allowed in this particular case. And that's what the Mishnah wants to teach us in addition to the basic machlokas of whether a mumche can look at a mum on yontif or cannot look at a mum on yontif. So we hachi lo yishchot. So the Gemara says, okay, but then if the issue of the Mishnah is extracting the animal from the pit, so why doesn't the Mishnah state that clearly? Meaning the Mishnah says lo yishchot. You know what the Mishnah should say? The Gemara says lo yalev yishcho mibayle. So it should talk about extracting the animal from the pit. That should be the focus of the Mishnah. And meanwhile, the Mishnah doesn't say anything about yale. So lo tzricha davar vaske. So the Gemara says, okay, so what happened in the Mishnah is that the animal was in the pit. You should not have taken the animal out of the pit, but somebody did. They say, now, the animal's out of the pit. So now, the question now becomes, can a mumcha look at it? So sakadach amin lishchate. So kamash malan. So the Gemara says, so I might have thought that now at this point in time, since someone took it out of the pit, so now we could shecht it. To which the Gemara says, wait 1 second, lishchate hatamu. Wait 1 second. Just shecht it at this point in time, meaning we didn't have a mumcha come and look at it yet. It hasn't been decided and rendered a bal mum. How could you possibly shecht it? So the Gemara says, well, tzricha danafal be mumma. So the Gemara says, well, a mum occurred to this animal. And right now the Gemara is thinking it occurred on Yantav. The Gemara says, baha muksahu. Yeah, but if it occurred on muksa, I'm sorry, if it occurred on Yantav, so the animal for sure is now going to be a muksa. And then that's certainly not going to be allowed. And even though it's true, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda argue as to whether there is muksa, there is a muksa, but this is the kind of muksa that even Rabbi Shimon would agree to. In other words, you have a bechor going into Yontav where it was an unblemished bechor going into Yontav, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that that's for sure going to be muksa. And we made this point already numerous times, but it bears repeating. Even though Rabbi Shimon lays lay muksa, the Gemara says that repeatedly, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of muksa, it's not binary. It doesn't mean that he flatly disagrees with muksa. It just simply means that his category of muksa is extraordinarily limited. That's all it means. But over here, if the Bechor only developed its blemish on Yantif itself, that for sure is going to be muksa according to everybody. So the Gemara says, so the case over here in discussion is the following. It had some blemish before Yantif. The Gemara described it as a mum over. It wasn't a permanent blemish. It was a temporary blemish. But at least it got us thinking. It got us thinking that, hey, wait 1 second. In other words, if it developed some blemish, albeit it was a temporary blemish, but if it developed some blemish before Yantif, so you know what? So may very well be that the blemish may turn into a permanent blemish over Yantif. So that's why this animal now is not muksa going into Yantif. So I might have thought that since it had a mum over going into Yantif, so now the person's das is on it, and therefore that would allow for shechita kamash malan. So the chiddush is no. In other words, the only way that we're allowed to shecht the animal is only if it had a mum kavua going into Yantif. Then and only then are we allowed to shecht it on Yantif. And mind you, by the way, that's only according to, of course, the shechita Rabbi Shimon. That is only according to the shechita Rabbi Huda, not according to the shechita Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, so now what we've done is that we've explained our mission in terms of what the issue is. The issue is whether or not a mumchen can go and see a mum on Yantiv. And as far as the details of the mission, the animal's in the pit, you're extracting the animal from the pit. So the mission wanted to inform us, teach us, that you are not allowed to extract the animal from the pit. And even b'di'evan, even if you did so post facto, still you're not going to be in a position where you can have a mumcha go ahead and look at it. Okay, adkan. Takes us to the first round of the Gemara's discussion. We're in Chavav and Aleph. We are about six lines from the bottom of the Amud. And so far, what we've covered is that Bizman Azeh, if you have a Bechor that falls into a pit, so can I have a mumcha look at it to see whether or not it has a mum? So it's a machlokus in a mishnah between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara now continues with a brisa, and in this brisa, so we are going to further analyze this particular topic through the lens of later Amorayim. Bechor tam shenafel abor. So if I have a bechor tam that falls into poor Rabbi Yehuda and Asi Omer Yerid mumcha v'yira. So you have a mumcha go into the pit, lowered into the pit. Im yesh ba mum yala v'yishcha v'im lav lo yishchot. So if it has a blemish, so then you could be shochet, and if not, you cannot be shochet. Amalo Rabbi Shimon Manasseh hare amru ein roin mumim b'yamtov. Rabbi Shimon Manasseh says no, you can't have a mumcha take a look and render a decision on this animal in yamtov. So ketzad. And now within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Manasseh, so there are three scenarios. No labam mumer of yamtov ein mevakanos of yamtov. So if a blemish occurred on this animal prior to yamtov, so you cannot do an examination on yamtov. No labamum be yomtov if it had a blemish occur on yomtov itself. So, top of chavav amud beis. So, Rabbi Shimon Omer ain zem in a muchan. So, you cannot have a mumcha take a look at this animal. Vishavim, however, there will be agreement between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, meaning a scenario where Rabbi Shimon would agree with Rabbi Yehuda is sheim nolad hu umumu imo she zem in a muchan. Let's say the animal is born on yontif itself, and it had a congenital mum, so that as it is emerging from its mother, it emerges with its mum. Under those circumstances, you are allowed to give it over to a mumcha and have a mumcha take a look at it and render a decision. So within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, so we have three different scenarios: one where you can have a mumcha look at it afilu chatchila. One where you can only have a mumcha look at it, but only b'di'evin. And one where you cannot have a mumcha look at it, even b'di'evin. Okay, and I'll go over the three cases better in just a moment. But meanwhile, however, I just want to make this point really clear, and that is, if you look carefully at the brisa that we just read, so it gets a little bit confusing because the brisa is a repetition of the Mishnah, right? On one hand, yes, on the other hand, no. Meaning, if you go back over the brisa that we just learned together, so pay careful attention to who the Tanaim are in the Braisa. It looks like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, just like our Mishnah. That's not accurate. Our Mishnah presents a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now, Stam Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Elai. And Stam Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon, the Rashbi. So, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. That's not the Braisa. The Braisa is presenting Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So, that's already a couple generations after Rabbi Yehuda bar Elai. And the Tana in the Braisa says Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, that is not the Rashbi, that's not Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So just to be clear, so the Braisa, although it seems like it's echoing our Mishnah, and it is, but it's not the same Tanaim. It happens to be that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is subscribing to the same viewpoint as Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. And it happens to be that Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh is subscribing to the same sheet as the Rashbi of our Mishnah, but just to be clear, it's not the same Tana. So in the meantime, however, what we've just uncovered in the Braisa is this idea that we have a machlokus, a later Tanaim, regarding what do you do with a Bechor that is a Bamum. Within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, it breaks down into three categories. Let's quickly run through those categories one more time, and that is that if the mum occurs on Erev Yontov, so you are not mevakarit on Yontov, meaning you cannot do an examination on Yontov. Now, bid the evid if an examination was done, so then you can, and it was rendered that's a bal mum, then you can check it. That is, that's scenario number one. Scenario number two is where it developed a blemish, but only on Yontov itself. That's something for sure a mumcha cannot look at. And the reason why is, now again, this is Rabbi Shimon Manasseh following the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. So the reason why it's not Moksa, as we already articulated back in the Mishnah, because Rabbi Shimon lays lay Moksa, the reason why is that if the blemish occurs for the first time on Yontov itself, so now when the Mumcha comes and looks at it, That's a psak din. In other words, that's a full-fledged psak din, which is barred and restricted on yantav. That's the that's the reason why a mumcha cannot look at it. And afilu b'di'evin. And the third scenario of the braisa is that if the animal is born with its mum, so under those circumstances, so then afilu chatchila, you can have somebody come and take a look at it. Now, why? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi covers both columns, right and left column of the Amud. So Rashi writes over here, you can see the fourth line in Rashi, She'in b'zeh mishum tikkun u'mishum din. So over here, there's no tikkun, there's no din, meaning this does not qualify as any kind of judgment. Shelo ha'isa bo cheska sisa me'olam. Because if it was born with a mum, so it never had the status of being usser. Meaning that if it's born as a non-blemished animal, and then it got a bar mum, so it had a tkufa, at a time period of being usser. Now the psak of the mumcha being rendered is now going to be changing its status, so that's the psak. But if it's born with a mum, so then it never had a cheska sisser, it never had a status of being usser, and therefore it would be mutter. Good. So that is the three scenarios, all according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. Darash Rava Barav Huna. We are on Chavav Amud Beis. We are three lines down. So now Rava Barav Huna tells everyone the following halacha. No, lad. Hu umumu imam evakarno sobi yamtov lechatchila. Okay. So basically, he's telling us that the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon. But as presented to us in the braisa that we just learned together, notably, there are three scenarios, and he's really focusing on the scenario where it would be mutter lechatchila to go ahead and do an examination, and that is when it's born with its blemish. So Amalei Rav Nachman, Abatini, Im Aver Uvikro Mevukar. So Rav Nachman says, you know, my father taught that only Bidievit, not Lichatchila. So Rav Nachman is basically saying, look, I'm happy to hear your Psak. I'm just telling you, I have a Kabbalah, I have a tradition from my father, that no, even when the animal is born, even when the Bechor is born with its mum, only Bidievit, but not Lichatchila, can an examination be done. Ve'atamat V'vakan Oso Lichatchila. And you're going out there publicly sharing with people that lechatchila could do so. So Amr Abai Kavase Derava Beravuna Mistabra. So Abai says, look, right? It's a machlokus Amoraim in terms of how to paskin. But Abai says that look, if I can do some critical reading of the brisa that we just learned together, it really does sound like Rava Beravuna got this one right. Why? Because Middiktani Talsa Bavei. Because look back at the Braisa and read the Braisa carefully. The Braisa gave us how many scenarios? Three scenarios. No la bamum me erev yamtov ein mevakanoso biyamtov lechatchila. I'm sorry, ein mevakanoso biyamtov. So if it developed a blemish on erev yamtov, so you cannot do an examination on yamtov. Now lechatchila udalo hadiyav shapir dami. That means that lechatchila you can't, but bidiyavit would be okay. Right? In other words, the language of the Braisa would seem to indicate that that's only lechatchila but not bidiyavit. No, but mum biyamto, Rabbi Shimon Amar ein zemen amuchan. If a mum developed on yantav, so Rabbi Shimon says. Now again, remember, the author of the braisa is Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. He's quoting Rabbi Shimon, meaning the Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So he says that's ein zemen amuchan. You can't have a chacham come and looking at it, because again, if the blemish only occurred for the first time on yantav itself, so that is a psak, and you can't have on yantav. And the afilu dieven amilo v'hadu tani. Now there's a third scenario in the braisa, and the third scenario is v'shavim shim nolad hu umumo imo shezemen amuchan, that if it is born with a mum, so that is menamuchan. And now, considering the fact that that's a third scenario, so what does that indicate? Well, that seems to indicate that there actually is a third category. So let's just go over. If there's one category that is afilu b'di'evid lo, and there's another category of lechatchila no b'di'evid yes. So there's a third category, which is then afilu lechatchila, the afilu lechatchila nami. Okay, so Abai wants to argue that just a critical analysis of the braisa would seem to indicate that Rava Bar Rav Huna is right. If a bechor is born on yantav with a mum, under those circumstances, afilu lechatchila, you can go ahead and you can look at it.
Why wouldn't that be considered nola?
So Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a muksa. So that's the right question, but the answer is because we don't hold of, not we, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of Nolad. Okay. So, ki asa Rav Oshia asa v'aisi masi sabiyadei. So, when Rav Oshia came, so he brought a brisa in his hand, and the brisa reads, v'en shenola bo mum me'erev yontav, v'en shenola bo mum v'yontav chacham emarmim ein zeh min hamuchan. So whether the blemish came before Yontov, whether it came on Yontov, ain't zemen amuchan. So comes out now that according to this brisa that we just learned together, so even when it's born, even when it's born with a mum, so lichatchila can't look at it. Meaning this brisa over here actually supporting Rav Nachman. So ve'ela kashyahach. So the Gemara says, well, what about the previous brisa that we just learned together? So the Gemara says, ahi ada bar uchmehi de meshamish bevitani. So the Gemara says somewhat critically. The previous brisa was reported to us by Ada bar Uchme, and he was notorious for misquoting brisas. Okay, so he didn't say brisas correctly. Kind of makes you wonder why it is that any brisas are quoted in his name. But okay, the Gemara says that's how I'll explain the previous brisa. Okay, so Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Masisa Namideka. In fact, if you go back to the Mishnah and you read the Mishnah carefully, Diktani Rabbi Shimon Omer. Meaning now we're going to read our Mishnah critically. And our Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Shimon, Kol Shein Mum Nikar Me'erev Yontov, Ein Zeh Menamuchan. So if the Mum is not Nikar on Erev Yontov, that is not considered Menamuchan. Meaning you can't have a Chacham and take a look at it. My Ein Mum Nikar. Now what does it mean when it says Ein Mum Nikar? Meaning just simple pshat of the Mishnah. Ilem Shein Mum Nikar Klal Pshita. So the Gemara says, well, if it means that the Mum is not Nikar at all, so that's obvious. So it's Rich Lememar. So Ella, the lowest chazal chacham, mayor of Yontov. It means as follows. No, of course there was a blemish. It just simply means that we didn't have a chacham come and take a look at it. Imum kavu imum over. In other words, in order to establish what kind of moment it was. Ketani mias ein ze menamuchan. Now, in the Mishnah, what does it say regarding such a scenario? It says that this is something that a chacham cannot render a decision on. Now, implicit in that is that if, in fact, the animal was born with a mum, so then afila chachila, one could take a mum can look at it. So shmamina. So the Gemara says, so if you read the Mishnah really carefully and really critically, so it comes out that the Mishnah would seem to support the position Rava Baravuna. Okay. So last half of an amud of the Gemara basically went over for us what would happen, what would occur in a scenario in which you have a bechor ba mum. It happens to be that the bechor was born with a mum. It was congenital. So what would be under those circumstances? So machlokus amarayim, whether or not such a mum could be examined by a chacham. And again, the way Rashi presents the issue is that since it was born with a mum, so it never had a shas iser. Since it never had a shas iser, so when the chacham comes and renders, that's not so much rendering a decision because you're not changing the status from heter to iser, as opposed to an animal that's born a tam, so there that is more like a psak based in. Okay, Adkan, that takes us through the first part of today's daf, and we continue. We're halfway through on Chafav Amud Beis. We're going to be picking up on what seems to be a new topic, but you're going to see the Gemara is going to bring us back to the topic of Bechor. Brief introduction to our next topic, so we're all familiar. In order for an animal to be... Let's leave animals for just a moment. In order for any item to be considered muksa going into any Shabbos or any Yontov, so it has to be muksa ben hashmashos. And we know that basically ben hashmashos of either a Shabbos or Yontov sets the tone for the remainder of Shabbos and Yontov. The way the Gemara phrases it throughout Shas is migu dis katsay ben hashmashos. It's katsay lekula yoma. It's muksa for ben hashmashos. It's going to be muksa for the remainder of the day. Good. That's the rule throughout Shas. Now, with that stated, so we will appreciate the Gemara's question over here. So is there a muksa for just half Shabbos? So let's get immediate clarification. So the Gemara says, well, ben hashmashos, right? Isn't that the determinant? The Gemara is asking rhetorically. It is the determinant. Meaning, what kind of question are you asking? I know that if something's muksa ben hashmashos, that's it. Regardless of what happens to the item after ben hashmashos, once an item is muksa ben hashmashos, it's muksa for the remainder, for the balance of Yontif. So the Gemara or Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Lo tricha de echse v'hadar itche v'hadar echse mai." So the Gemara says, "Okay, our question over here is as follows: ben hashmashos, the item is perfectly fine; it's muchan. Then, as you go into Shabbos, for reasons which we're going to articulate, we'll give examples, it now becomes a muksa item." Then it becomes a non-muksa item. So over here, at the ben hashmashos, so it was not muksa. Then, as Shabbos progressed, it became muksa, and then it unmuktsad for the balance of Shabbos. So now, do we say, under those circumstances where it didn't have a muksa status during Ben Hashmashos, so can the muksa, can the temporary muksa status be in fact lifted? Amar Lei Ish Muksa. So, the question was asked, really straightforward answer, super, super quick answer from a Gemara term, from the Gemara perspective. He said, yeah, it's muksa. So the Gemara says, Eisvei, so the Gemara says, really? Vishav Mishim Nolad Umumo Imo Shezem in Amuchan. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider. And a Bechor is born on Yantav with the mum, congenital mum. So it is min amuchan. You can have somebody come along and decide whether or not there's a mum kavu or mum over. Ve'amai name ahai Bechor mi'ikara havechaze agav imei. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider going into Yantav. What was the status of the fetus? Mutter. Because remember, it's Yantav. You can shech the mother. And by dint of shechting the mother, you're allowed to eat the fetus. Good. So it's mutter. Now it's born. Now, I know it was born with a mom, but you need someone to render a decision. So at that point in time, it takes on this temporary muksa status. And then, because the Braisa said that you can have a mom to look at it, so now what do we learn in the Mishnah? Or I should say better, in the Braisa, now it's going to be mutter. So you see, it was mutter, muksa, mutter, and it's fine. So even though it had temporary muksa status, the moment that muksa status goes away, it goes away, even on the yontif. So I'm sorry. Hi bechor, I'm just rereading this again. I lost my thread. Ve'am my name hi bechor mikara v'chazi agavi meisalle itchele echazi lechacham isharile. Okay, so that seems to be a wonderful proof. I'm Rabbi Bitemer of Safra Kevin Diasve Dayane Hasam Igeda. I'm sorry. Kegon diyasei dayane hasam. So the Gemara says, I don't know if the Braisa is such a good raya. We could suggest, in fact, we're not only could, we are suggesting that, you know what happened? As the fetus now is emerging, so you have dayanim right there at the birth. So we never went through a shas of muksa. Okay. It's an ukimta, admittedly. It's really unusual. But it just, the proof is not absolute. We can create a scenario where it didn't even have just a moment of muksa status. Igadami, now we're going to do the same thing again, but in a slightly different format. Amar lein muksa lechatzi Shabbos. There is no muksa for chatzi Shabbos. So lema misayele. So again, the question was asked, and now in the second version, the answer was ein muksa. Oh, so the Gemara says, good. Visham shim no la mumo imo shezem na mukhem vabachor mikara havechazi agavime. Isyale itchele, ichazi lechacham ishtari le. So now we're going to look at the case of the bechor that's born with a mom, and now that's going to be proof positive of ein muksa. Why? Because it went from muchan to muksa back to muchan, and the Braisa says it's good. So the Gemara says again, "Amar Rabbi Vitemer of Safra Kagon, the Yasvei Dayane Hasam." There were Dayanim over there, and the Dayanim meant that since they saw it emerge and they paskin right there at that moment in time, it never had a shas muksa. Okay, good. In other words, it no longer serves as a proof. Okay, Tashma. Let's pause over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow from the Tashma. Tonight, right, even better. We'll pick it up tonight from the Tashma, and we'll continue this discussion of whether or not there's muksa for Chatzi Shabbos. Right, in a vacuum, it's such a funny gemara to explain muksa for Chatzi Shabbos, but. In the context now of the Gemara, it makes more sense. Anyway, let's quickly recap. The Bechor Balmum falls into a pit on Yantav. And so, can I have a Chacham come and take a look at it? So in the Mishnah, Machlok is between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon. Uncharacteristically, Rabbi Huda's Mekel and Rabbi Shimon's a Machmir. But as Rashi explained back in the Mishnah, the issue is not Muksa, because if the issue were Muksa, so then the positions would be just the opposite. So if the issue is not Muksa, so what is the issue? The issue is, can I have a chacham come and render a decision? Meaning, we know that Beis Din cannot paskin on Yantiv. That is an issa de Rabbanan. So, is this considered a psak Beis Din? So, Rabbi Yehuda argues, nah, it's not considered a psak Beis Din. Meaning, it's just he's just giving us information, but he's not issuing a formal psak. It's a little bit difficult to say it that way, but that's the way Rabbi Yehuda views it. And Rabbi Shimon is of the position, no, this is considered, it's viewed like a Pesach Beis Din, and therefore that decision cannot be rendered on Yontif itself. The Gemara on the Amud Aleph just simply tried to clarify, if the whole issue over here is whether you can have a mumcha come and look at it and render a decision, so why do we have the example of it falling into the pit? What are we gaining from that? So the Gemara clarified why the Mishnah's case is so complicated. Okay, good. And then, on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, going into the Amud Beis, so we had a Braisa. The Braisa is giving us later tonight, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and Rabbi Shimon Manasya, echoing the viewpoints of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai of our Mishnah and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai of our Mishnah. And it happens to be that the Rabbi Yehuda's line up and the Rabbi Shimon's line up. But what we gain from the Braisa that we didn't see in the Mishnah is that there is going to be a case in point where even Lechatchila, you're allowed to go ahead and look at it, and notably, when it's born with a mum. So when the mum was congenital and was born with that mum, so under those circumstances, even Rabbi Shimon would tell you, right? Rabbi Shimon Manasseh tells us that even Rabbi Shimon would tell you that you can have a chacham come and take a look at it. Afil l'chatchila. Now, afil l'chatchila, as we learned on the Amud Beis, not every Amor is in agreement. Afil l'chatchila. Machlokes Amoraim, whether in such a scenario, you can even have a chacham look at it l'chatchila, good. And that took us through halfway down the Amud Beis.
What about Rav Shimon's principle over there that you don't have the render of Pesach on Yom Tov?
Right. In this case, in the congenital case?
Yeah, because they're still making Pesach.
So the way Rashi explained it is because, you're right. But the way Rashi explained it is that because it was born congenitally with a mum, so it never had a real Shas Isser. Now, again, it's a challenging.
You're not rendering it Pesach.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a challenging pshat because without the mumcha, we're not going to be able to eat it. I'm with you, but that's you have to say something, Rashi. I'm presenting Rashi. Good. And then the last thing that we covered this morning is whether or not there's muksa for chatzis Shabbos. And to clarify, if something's muksa ben hashmasho, so that status is locked for the remainder of Shabbos and Yontif. Well, the question on the table is that it was not muksa going into Shabbos or going into Yontif during the Bein HaShemashos. It was the Davar Muchan, and then, for whatever reasons, it became muksa over the course of Shabbos and Yontif, and then it became unmuksad for the balance of Shabbos and Yontif. So, do we say that because it was not muksa during Bein HaShemashos, and it was only during a temporary period during that Shabbos and Yontif, so does that temporary muksa get lifted? Yes or no? And actually, we saw two versions. One version was no, it doesn't get lifted. And the other version is, yes, it does get lifted. And our Mishnah seemed to have been a pretty good referendum on this issue, but the Gemara says not necessarily.